Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3, the Fan, football's finest, coming up at 5 o'clock. I'm back here with more reasons to believe Shoddy is the hero we needed but didn't know we even wanted. I remember when the news came in. Remember what you're drinking, what you're thinking that night? When our guy, was that Dope Sick Dave?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dope Sick Dave.
I mean, there were a lot of opinions. And then in the weeks afterwards, I was like, wait a minute, you know, this guy's... he's got something going on here, and I like the moves they were making. Then we got the Clayton Adams hire and the Connor Riley hire, and you know the draft was good and everything. But here he was talking about marrying the run in the past. Joseph Hoyt, as many of you did, noticed our guy Greg Olson talking about this during the telecast. And Shoddy's mentioned a couple of times, you know, at training camp than here over the last couple of weeks. So Hoyt asked Shoddy more of a follow-up today, like, can you give me some more on why you guys believe marrying the run and the pass is so important. Shoddy said there's no tells. There's no, hey, we're in the gun, we're throwing. And if we're under center, we're running. If we're in 2x2 with both edges closed, it's 85% run. Runs that we have in the game, we're going to have action pass off that and vice versa. There is so much technology, Shoddy says, in terms of our ability to get information, everyone, the coaches give it to the players have it. And if you don't do that, you're battling uphill because they're all very talented players, very intelligent, great coaches. If you don't do that, then in my opinion, there's going to be a handful of plays in a game. And every play matters. A handful of plays in the game that the defense is predicting or the offense is predicting what you are going to do. We actually have people on staff where that's all they do. Hey, tell us about this. Some of it's analytics, some of it's coaches. I won't get into the specifics of it, but they're literally looking for trends, and then we're going to break those trends. Because if you break those trends early in games, for example, in the openers, then what the players say is, okay, that doesn't hold up. He says, I remember playing San Francisco and Fred Warner. I'll go Carolina and Luke Kuechly in terms of diagnosing things and having tells. And Russell Wilson coming off the bench and saying, yeah, Kuechly's calling every play. He was literally calling every play. What do you mean? He's calling out every play. Trap here, three step there. I think the guys that overdo the studying, you can use it as an advantage because otherwise you're playing into their hands. And
man, that's a breath of fresh air, isn't it?
Oh.
You got a buttoned up coach here, detail oriented, getting ahead of things.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
This is it. You know, this is exactly what you need. I don't know. I think right now we have a top five coaching staff. Jason Garrett used to talk about this kind of stuff like, well, you can drive yourself crazy being in a cat and mouse game all day. You know, you're checking into this, you're checking to that, your guys are screwing it up. It's just not worth pursuing that level of excellence and deception.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were talking about in the postgame show, you're down four offensive linemen. Like, they're never winning a game like that with Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy as their head coach. Like, and now you've been able to do this and maintain your rushing success with a bunch of different injuries along your offensive line. If they were down one player, it was like, oh my gosh, all hell is breaking loose.
Yeah, you didn't have coaching staffs that could mask deficiencies.
And or trust themselves, really.
For sure.
I mean, like, McCarthy admitted they're down three offensive linemen on the road in Arizona, and he's like, yeah, I changed the game plan. I didn't feel as confident. I had to change the way we're calling plays. Shoddy's interviewing with Brad in the pregame show, and he's talking about, like, no, I believe in what we do. So I'm not changing anything based on, oh, we don't have one. It's next man up. And that's the way to do it, man. Believe in what you're calling. Believe in your system and your scheme. And everyone's on the same page, and these guys are prepared. And they've done an excellent job getting these guys prepared.
Yeah, you do want to believe in your scheme, but I think you want your scheme to be more deception and adaptability and making them guess at every turn, because the thinking athlete isn't nearly as fast as the instinctual athlete, and that's what you're now making teams do. So how do you have nine different starting offensive linemen and be leading the league or close to it in offensive pass protection win rate? I think it's because the defense is hesitating just a little bit. They don't know what kind of a run it is, if it's going to be a run. Is it gap or zone? Is it inside, outside? I don't know. You know, and then is it maybe even a pass here off play action? And it's very powerful stuff.
I think that Jake Ferguson screen for a touchdown, everybody on that Jets defense thought that was a run play.
Yep.
Yeah.
They thought that was a run play.
To the left.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's like, nope, we got a little something here for you.
Okay, what else do we have here? Brian, you over there watching Devin Bush still?
Yeah, I am.
You locked in on that. Do you like the player?
Yeah, so far so good, man. He is, when it comes to playing square and tackling in the hole and having to play some coverage. I mean, Joe Burrow's trying to mess with him a little bit, but he's doing a pretty good job.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now.
All righty. Maybe we'll talk more about that and DeMario Davis. I do feel like with this offense being this good, you owe it to yourself to be very aggressive at this trade deadline. But we also have to be serious with the kind of money the Cowboys would likely be willing to shell out. And I think Devin Bush at just over $3 million is a great answer. You mentioned DeMario Davis, his salary $7 million. So maybe you'd still be on the hook for $4 or $5 million. They got $42 million in cap space. And a major problem at linebacker.
Yes. The issue is the Saints cap hit trading him.
Yeah.
So I don't know that the Saints financially are able to do that. But yes, his salary is one that the Cowboys could take on, 100%.
All righty. Yeah, we'll have to dive into the Saints salary cap system situation as well.
It's always a disaster, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're used to it.
It's usually because of their voids. They've put 3 void years on Davis's contract.
So if you're trading for a player, they're going to have to eat a huge amount of money on. They might ask for better draft compensation, but they could restructure other contracts and create that cap space if you made it worth it to them. And for a clearly rebuilding team, you know, I don't know what that looks like for a linebacker. The insider that I was reading talking about Devin Bush felt like a day 3 swap might get you Devin Bush right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, a day 3 swap.
Yeah, because Devin Bush, I don't think signed a very... He's a free agent. Anybody could have signed him.
You do have your 4, right?
Big deal. Yeah, they got.
They were talking 6 and 5.
No, but I was just saying. Yeah. No, yeah.
If you wanted to,
sure, yeah.
I mean, hell, go get both of them.
Yeah, compensatories too, potentially.
Yeah, he just got a 1-year, $3.25 million deal.
And there's things that all these linebackers
Devin Bush?
Well.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. It's low. Okay, Bryce Young, you cannot lose to this guy. Young is still near the bottom in many passing categories, including a 79 passer rating. It ranks 27th in the NFL. Also not a quarterback that attacks much down the field as the Panthers 30th in the NFL in average yards per completion at just 5. This is off DallasCowboys.com. But, yeah, you lose to a player like Bryce Young, it'll be, I think, worse than Caleb Williams.
Oh, for sure.
Bryce Young's worse than Caleb Williams?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. Yes. Yeah, it's really not. I don't think it's even a comparison.
Is Carolina building something at home? They are 2-0 at, is that Bank of America Stadium?
Still is.
Okay. They're averaging 28.5 at home. Now, you could say they played Miami and Atlanta at home. They faced stiffer competition out there. But, I mean, those are some pretty compelling stats. Yeah, that's usually the first sign that a team's starting to turn it around. Maybe they have an identity here with Rico Dowdle, but I think you need to be much more concerned with Tet McMillan against busted coverage. Very legit. I said it earlier. I would have loved to take him at 12. I don't know if you'd be better off at 12 with your 3 if you'd taken McMillan and you keep your 3 than having Booker and Pickens now. Obviously, these last couple of weeks, it looks like Pickens is absolutely blowing up. You're going to want to do a long-term contract with him, but either way, that would have been fine. And I think Tet McMillan in the not too distant future is going to be probably a top 10 receiver in this league.
He's got that type of talent. Yeah. Top 10. I mean, I love the guy. I think he's awesome. If you play off coverage, they'll run those outs on you and just nickel and dime you down the field. You got to make sure you're playing up tight and pressing him a little bit. And he's also a bigger bodied player. And we saw Garrett Wilson give Deron Bland a little bit of problems. So I wonder who they match up against him. Maybe it'll be Diggs.
Man, this guy's got some clothes to him.
got some clothes.
Yeah, they like Burrow's like to go and play action, and Burrow, they're trying to move the pocket to the right, and like kind of Devin Bush is looking at it, and then he just takes off running it at Burrow, and Burrow's got no chance to get rid of the ball. He just grabs him before he can get rid of it.
Well, I would say you need Dylan Gabriel to not play well. I think his debut was half decent in London against Minnesota, one of the better defenses in the NFL, yeah. 180 yards or so. They score 17 points. Now they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, that game in Cleveland. So you want the Browns to look horrible, to fall to 1-5, and for them to think, oh, what the hell? You know, we might as well trade whatever veterans we have that we can get something for to make the most out of this season.
Oopsie.
Let's go to CBS Sports. Cowboys were featured in their Week 6 buy or sell. And the subject for the Cowboys, buy or sell, gentlemen, at 877-881-1053. You want to text in on this. The Cowboys are making the playoffs. You buying or selling that idea right now?
I'm buying it. Picked them to be in the playoffs at the beginning of the season. I don't think the NFC's really got anybody that's, hey, this is my conference. I think it's pretty wide open.
But they lost to the Bears, man.
They lost to the Bears.
You might have picked them, and then they went out there and...
And then they've bounced back nicely. I mean, I think that they're going to be okay. And they're going to be a team that'll win 9 games and have a shot to get in there as the 6th or 7th wild card.
Their panel split. One says buy that because of the offense, and the defense is going to get better. If you can promise me the defense is going to get better, I think I'm there with you. We got to face some good passing games and keep them under 30 for a couple weeks in a row before I'd be confident.
There's some teams I thought were just kind of beat up on Dallas in the second half. Kansas City might be a team that by the time you get to them, who knows what's going to happen there.
Okay, that'll be tough. I think the Chiefs game is going to be tough. I mean, you go from like late November, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions, Vikings.
Yeah, you got Philadelphia at home though, right?
Yes, you do.
Week
yes,
before?
You do. Yeah. Certainly winnable, but I mean, that's just it's a hell of a stretch.
Yeah, yeah.
They got to stack up their wins now.
Kind of thought that the Charger game might be a little bit more, you know, with them with their injuries right now. That might be not as difficult as you thought.
I don't want to bring up an uncomfortable subject, guys, but the sell on this from CBS Sports, their panelist said you can't trust Dak Prescott's injury history right now. Mm. That's just one of those unspoken things that we do.
I can trust the year after he gets hurt. He doesn't get hurt.
Every other year, man, he's the Bochy of injuries.
You know, he's been healthy post an injury, and he's played really well. We're banking on that.
All right, at 877-881-1053, the 817 says we're smoking crack. 936 says selling. They will not make the playoffs. They will get swept the rest of the way in the division.
Wow.
That is a cynical Cowboys
fan.
That
Washington game is going to be a big one here in 2 weeks.
Okay, we got 3 down, 2 to go. What's up next, Chief?
Football's finest, interesting Week 6 NFL props, and hold all your calls. Cancel all your meetings. Tonight starts 49 straight days of football. That's next year in the nation.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.